Well, let's turn, shall we, to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. We'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. I want to speak this morning on our motto text for 2014. For the benefit of those who haven't been around at the beginning of the year, what I've endeavoured to do since my ministry began here is at the beginning of the year preach on a particular text. And the idea is that we carry this text with us throughout the year, and it becomes the means of encouraging and challenging us throughout. According to Wikipedia, a motto is a slogan to live one's life by, or a phrase that formally summarizes an intention of a group or organization. Well, I don't know whether you've seen these this morning. They're all lying over on the table there at the back. Little cards for you to take away with. And on it, it has our motto text, Psalm 46 and verse 1. And do be encouraged to put it up on the mantelpiece or on the desk of your office or on the fridge, or on the notice board in the kitchen, or wherever. And do be encouraged to continually look at it throughout this coming year. We want to endeavour to live by it as individuals and as a church. Well, let me read the motto text to you. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Now, in order to consider the motto text, I want us to look at the whole psalm. I think most of us by now recognize the importance of considering a verse in its context. If we don't read a verse in its context, then we may well make it mean something that the author never intended it to mean. So we'll look at the whole psalm and then kind of round things up by looking at the verse or the motto text for the last time. It's likely, isn't it, that most of us, if not all of us, will face trials or difficulties of some kind or another throughout this coming year. Now, that may not be what you wanted to hear on the first Sunday of the new year. And yet we want to be realistic, don't we, as believers? You know, we could try to hide from reality. We could endeavour to brush things under the carpet and pretend everything's wonderful and well. But that's just not the way that life in a fallen world is. Jesus said to his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. And if we don't have a lot of trouble within our own lives, what we can be assured of is this, that we will be surrounded by trouble. And we only have to watch our news on the television each day or to read the daily newspaper to know that this will be the case. And troubles of one kind or another can cause us alarm. Such things can cause us to fear. And we are fearful, aren't we, of all kinds of things in life. Some of us may be fearful of what our boss will say to us on Monday morning. Some of us may be fearful of what the doctor will say to us during the coming week. Some of us may be fearful about situations within our family context. We may worry about what the weatherman has to say. We may worry about what politicians are going to say over this coming year. We may worry about all kinds of turmoil and strife within the world, recognizing that this causes uncertainty. Particularly where the stock market is concerned. Maybe our pension is related to the stock market. But we need not fear. This is what the psalmist tells us. Indeed, it would be wonderful if we could be so bold as the psalmist. Because he says this, verse 2, "Therefore we will not fear." And why shouldn't we fear? Well, because of our motto text, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. C.H. Spurgeon, the famous Baptist minister of the 19th century, called this psalm the Song of Holy Confidence. And Martin Luther, the great leader of the Reformation, obviously encountered countless problems and difficulties within his own life, and yet we are told that he reflected much upon this psalm and found it a great source of strength. My guess is that he believed it was important for every Christian, and that's why he wrote a song or a hymn based on this psalm, "Almighty Fortress is Our God." The psalmist then speaks of three glorious things that God is for his people. Firstly, God is a refuge for his people. God is our refuge. A refuge, of course, is a place of safety, a place of shelter for those who find themselves facing danger. Whenever I think of a refuge, I often think of the baby kangaroo. I think a baby kangaroo is called a joey. You know, the little kangaroo is there in its mother's pouch, and it's warm and comfortable and safe. It's a good place to be. Well, God is a good place that we can run to and find refuge in. God is also our strength. God is our refuge and strength. And who better to find strength in during times of trouble? For who is there, or what is there, that is stronger than God? God was the one who gave the sun its energy. God was the one who put the oil and the gas at the bottom of the sea or under the earth. God is the one who causes the lightning bolt to appear in the sky. God is a refuge and a strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I think it is important to note the words "in trouble." The psalmist recognizes that he and others are going to face troubles in life. He recognizes that trouble in life is all part and parcel of living in this world, and that God allows troubles for reasons that we do not always understand. But whilst he recognizes that there will be trouble in life, he also recognizes that God is an ever-present help in the midst of trouble. An ever-present help. Aren't you glad that God never sleeps? Aren't you glad that God never gets tired or goes on holiday? God is an ever-present help. An ever-present help. It's wonderful, isn't it, to know that as we make our way through this year, that God is going to be with us, that God is going to be near. He may be holding the billions of stars in their proper places. He may be controlling the weather patterns around our globe. He may be overseeing the affairs of the nations, but he's with us as individuals and also as a church. And he will never leave us or forsake us. God wanted Joshua to hear these words, Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And we can have that assurance, can't we, as believers, that wherever we go, whenever we find ourselves engaged in, that God will be with us. Indeed, he'll be with his people right up until the very end of the age. Now, I've already pointed out one or two things that we may fear in life. You can add things if you want to those that I've already mentioned. But here the psalmist points out a number of things that may cause those within the city. I believe it's the city of Jerusalem. He points out a number of things that those in the city may fear. And if you look at verses 2 and 3... you will see that he makes reference to natural disasters. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. He's talking about storms and floods and earthquakes. And we know all about floods and storms, don't we, in this part of the world at the present time. Joanne and I were lying in bed only a few weeks ago when one of the storms came our way, and some of you will know that we've got these three great big lime trees just outside the manse. And one of them is incredibly near our bedroom, and you should have heard that the wind howl through these trees. It was frightening. And I must be honest and say that we feared that one of these trees was going to blow over and it would land on us, and that would be the end of our days on earth. It was like that. And during the night, of course, we had a little 9-year-old girl come and squeeze in between the two of us because she was frightened. And I know that some of you were fearful, particularly those of you who live on your own. And there were lots of trees that came down, weren't there? Some of you have found it difficult in recent days to get from Crockenhill to Orpington. There were lots of trees that fell down along the road there. And, well, we fear these things. There are a lot of people in our country at the moment, particularly those living in Surrey around the Gatwick area, who are worried about more rain because they're already flooded and don't know how much more water they're going to be able to cope with. We may not know too much about earthquakes, but these things were not unfamiliar to residents in the land surrounding the great Rift Valley from the upper reaches of the Jordan to Arabah in the south. In other words, the very area where those who would have read and sung this psalm live. So he speaks of natural disasters, but he also speaks of political turmoil. He does that in verse 6, where he says, "Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall." Now, there were often, in Old Testament times, new powers coming onto the scene, threatening the existing powers, and then by force establishing themselves on the world stage. And those in Jerusalem, those in Israel, were always concerned by this because these new powers inevitably wanted to conquer new lands. They wanted new territory. And even today we recognize that the nation of Israel is surrounded by enemies. It's surrounded by armies. And sometimes we hear people on the television saying, well, what we want is an end to the nation of Israel. And the Israeli government are always concerned about new political powers, new political leaders coming onto the world scene around them. So the psalmist speaks of natural disasters, and political turmoil. But in the midst of all of this, he stresses his confidence in God. Look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now these words may seem a little bit strange at first, for the simple reason that unlike the cities of Thebes, Babylon, Damascus and Nineveh, there wasn't a river that ran through Jerusalem. There was a river that ran down the hill in the valley, the River Jordan, but this city was on a hill. Now, of course, if you don't have a river running through your city, it can be something of a disadvantage, particularly when you're laid siege to. But here the psalmist says, actually, Jerusalem does have a river running through it. And when he speaks of a river running through it, I believe he's making reference to God. You see, the word river is a metaphor that speaks of the continual outpouring of God's sustaining and refreshing grace. I wonder what we're going to face this year. Well, we don't know what we're going to face this year. Perhaps there will be many, many new and exciting things that will be our experience this year. We just don't know. Thankfully, we don't know. It would be a terrible thing, I think, if we did know. But whatever we face this year, and it may involve difficulty, we can rest assured that God's sustaining grace will be available to us. Many years later, the Apostle Paul found himself experiencing the thorn, his thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that thorn in the flesh amounted to, and again, it's probably as well that we don't know what it amounted to, but clearly it was a painful and difficult thing for him to have to cope with. Three times he prayed that the Lord would take it away from him, but it wasn't God's will to take it away. Instead, God said that his grace would be sufficient for him. And God's grace proved to be sufficient for Paul. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. You know, it must have been absolutely terrifying to have lived in the city of Jerusalem, or any other city for that matter, when a great enemy was camped outside, ready to lay siege to the city at the break of dawn, or when the sun rose in the sky. You know, things were somewhat different to what they are today. There are certain guidelines, aren't there, for engaging in warfare. And most countries, though not all, keep to those. But in those days, there were no guidelines, and warfare was ruthless and bloody. And the women and children didn't tend to come off too well, where perhaps today we might expect them to fare better. But the confidence of the psalmist is this, that God is within the walls of the city. God dwelt within the city. God dwelt, more specifically, within the holy place, or the most holy place. This was a city that God had put his name to. This was a city where God was pleased to consider himself to be a resident. How then could the city fall? Unless, of course, God departed from the city. Unless God withdrew his glorious presence from his people. This city then was under divine protection and therefore impenetrable. The people then need not fear. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I guess as a pastor, one of the fears that I do have concerns what might be round the corner for us as a church. You know, I just don't know what is round the corner. I just don't know what we're going to experience as individuals and as a fellowship this year. And I know that Satan is one who is always seeking to attack God's people. I know that he's constantly employing various tactics in order to rob us of our joy, to destroy our witness. If he can destroy this place and close it down, he will do so. But here is a lovely reminder to all pastors and congregations that the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, is on our side. And he will be our fortress. And we can have that confidence that God, who is within us, is greater than he that is in the world. I just love the little bit where it says in verse 6, he lifts his voice, the earth melts. The power of God. The sovereignty of God. He does what he wills. He just speaks. And it comes to pass. This God, this Almighty God, is on our side. Now you will notice at the end of verse 7 the word Selah. It appears at the end of verse 3. It appears right at the end of verse 11. And I don't want us this morning to overlook this word. I've heard some people read Psalms in churches, and they've not read this particular word. Now, I don't want to point the finger, because I've read Psalms in church over the years, and I have left out this particular word. I don't want us to leave it out this morning. It's an important word for us, just for a moment, to consider. The commentators tell us that it's a difficult word to translate, but it's basically a liturgical mark meaning to stop or listen. You see, the idea is that we pause at this particular point and think about what we've just read. Or if we're singing, to think about what we've just sung. The psalmist doesn't want us to move on quickly and read the next bit. He wants us to stop, to think, to meditate upon what has been said. Now, you all know, I would imagine, the story of Goliath. David and Goliath. Goliath was 9 foot tall. David was just a young boy. But we mustn't forget that as David stood there in the valley, that there was someone really, really big standing beside him. In fact, he was so big that his feet filled the valley. And he was so tall that you could only see his ankles, because the rest of his body extended up into the sky beyond the clouds. Now you say, I haven't read about this particular person within the story, but of course what I'm really trying to emphasize is the fact that God was with David. And that's why David gained the victory over the little Goliath, who was only 9 feet tall. And at the beginning of this year, as indeed throughout the course of this year, it would be good to just stop, particularly when we're encountering difficulty, and to remind ourselves that the God of Jacob is with us. Now in verses 8 and 9, the psalmist invites us to think further about the power and sovereignty of God. Verse 8, come and see the works of the Lord. What the psalmist is doing is he's encouraging his listeners to dwell upon what God has done in the past. And you know, that is a really good thing for us to do, particularly when we're up against it. To think about what God has done in history. To think about what God has done thus far in our lives. How many difficulties has he seen us through? How many times has he rescued us when we found ourselves in difficulty? Come and see the works of the Lord, says the psalmist. Consider, he says, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Perhaps the people in Jerusalem are being encouraged to think about the cities that God, by his power, has destroyed in the past. Perhaps they've been encouraged to think about what happened at the time of Joshua, when the city of Jericho was put to an end, along with so many other cities in the land of Canaan. Jericho was a great city. It was a stronghold. The people that lived there were big and powerful, and yet God, at the time of Joshua, enabled Joshua and his army to conquer it so easily. Nothing, you see, is too hard for the Lord. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. God is greater than all his and his people's enemies. He can bring them to nothing. Now, of course, this psalm had great relevance for those who lived at the time when it was written. But I believe that this psalm, whether the psalmist realized it or not, probably not, anticipated the future when God would deal with all his people's enemies. I believe that this psalm pointed forward to the time of the Messiah, to the time of Jesus when he would die and rise again. And in doing so, would rob Satan or would remove Satan's greatest or chief weapon. His ability to hold men and women in the fear of death. This psalm, I believe, points forward to the time when God would throw Satan and all his fallen angels into the lake of fire. It points forward to the new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven, where all God's people will dwell within it in peace and safety and security forever. Yes, this psalm had relevance to those living in Jerusalem during the days of the psalm, but it has relevance for us. It has relevance for the future. Because one day, as I've already said, the new Jerusalem is going to come down from heaven, and within this new Jerusalem, those of us who know and love the Saviour shall dwell in it in peace and security forever. There will be no more threat of enemies. It's a wonderful thought. Well, let me move on quickly. Verses 10 and 11 provide a fitting conclusion to the psalm. Be still and know that I am God. I wonder who God's words are directed to here. You will notice that they are God's words because of the speech marks. The psalmist is quoting God's words here. Is God speaking to his and his people's enemies? Is he speaking to the nations that are in uproar and saying, look, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. Is he saying to them, consider who I am? Or is God speaking to his own people, those who are worried and fearful? Is he saying to them, be still and know that I am God? Well, I lean towards the view that says that God is speaking here to his own people. You know, in the midst of all that's going on in the world, in the midst of all your fears and worries and anxieties, will you be still? Will you just stop a minute? Will you cease your panicking? Will you meditate upon the fact that I am God? And that I am with you. Verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah, stop. Think about it. Dwell upon this matter. Seek encouragement. Seek courage from this very thought. I want to suggest to you that there is a way that we can go forward into this coming year with courage. I want to suggest to you that we can pass through the difficulties and the challenges that come our way this year without fear. It is knowing that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. For this reason, verse 2, we will not fear. John Patton, and I'll close with this little story. John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands. And one night, as he and his wife, and perhaps others, I'm not sure, found themselves in their mission station. Lots of locals came and surrounded where they were. And they were intent on burning the mission station down and killing those inside. The historians tell us that Patton and his wife prayed during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. Well, they looked out of the windows in the morning when the sun rose, and all their attackers had disappeared. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted. He became a Christian. He became one who put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remembering what had happened, Patton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them all. And the chief replied in surprise, saying, "Who were all those men with you there?" Patton knew no men were present, but the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. Well, who do you think were these men that shined with swords? Well, the answer I think that we would all want to give is angels. They were God's angels. This was God's means of protecting these missionaries so that they might be spared and in due time reach out to those who lived there with the good news of the gospel. And it's just one little story amongst thousands that testify to the fact that God is so wonderfully with his people. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that there are times when we do fear circumstances that come our way. Sometimes, Lord, we find it very difficult to cope. Often we endeavour to meet these trials and difficulties in our own strength. Sometimes we do okay, at other times we find that we really don't cope. But help us to stop, Lord, and to remember that you are a great God and are with us, whatever it is that we go through, and you will be our refuge and our strength. Lord, to think that an all-powerful God is on our side. Oh, Lord, if that is so, who indeed can really come against us? What can cause us to fear? Oh, Lord, help us to focus our thoughts and our minds much upon you throughout this coming year, and grant us faith to believe that we have a great God who will watch over us and protect us. Lord, this is where we seem to fall down. We lack the faith to believe. But help us, we pray, and we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.